Shall we pray? Lord, indeed, as we have sung earlier on, may we always make room in our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of all the celebration, maybe cultural, family, or social, we ask in our heart of hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ may find a room. Be with us as we reflect on the story of Christmas this morning, for we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm Terry Wong, the vicar of the cathedral, along with Reverend Peter Cook, the rest of the staff, clergy, deaconesses, and staff, and our parochial church council, our board, our PCC. I want to wish all of you a very warm, blessed Christmas. And it's great to see you in God's house on this very special day. Excuse me for the pause. Now, we have had a wonderful Advent and Christmas season. Whether here at home, in the cathedral, in churches all around Singapore, in this city nation, most of us have celebrated the season with very rich and delicious food, with very rich music, creative arts, and some of us exchange very handsome and beautiful gifts. Some have given generously to charities and worthy causes. It's never failed to amaze me that Singaporeans in general are generous. And you have given so much to charities, and not only that, many have also traveled abroad during this Christmas season to serve poorer and needier communities. And even here in Cathedral, these last 3 days, we have had Christmas at the Cathedral, and we have a wonderful time celebrating Christmas with the city. In fact, having spent the last 3 days zumbaing, dancing, and making a fool of myself and walking around in my jeans, I must say, I was a bit relieved yesterday and today to be back in my robes, to be a clergy again. Indeed, there's also a religious way of celebrating Christmas. It's quite possible. In the midst of all the Christmas celebration, the shopping, the singing, that we sometimes can miss the simple message of Christmas. For we can indeed get very emotional and very sentimental during this season of the year. As the song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Indeed, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And we can, of course, be even extra religious during this time of the year. And yet, me and you, whether clergy or those who sit on the pew, we can actually miss out on what Christmas really means. And I want to focus my short sharing this morning on just one word. And I believe this word captures the heart of Christmas. In this ancient Hebrew word, Emmanuel, first quoted in prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Also quoted in this text read for us just now by Reverend Peter Cook in Matthew chapter 1. And therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. Just three words. But I believe these three words capture the heart and true meaning of Christmas. God with us. And my meditation this morning will just focus on these three words. And I trust that I will leave with you some lasting thoughts that will continue to guide you in the celebration of Christmas in the years to come. Firstly, God. This simple point must not be missed. And this text says it as it is. This child Jesus is God with us. And the statement God with us is not a statement of favor, the way sometimes we may say, I'm with you in the struggle that you're going through. It's not a statement of support. It is a statement of presence. I'm with you. The presence of God is here through this child, as prophesied long ago, Emmanuel, God is here. As testified by John in the other gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christmas is not just about the idea that love has come down, or that God has done something great. Christmas is about God coming into our world. And I hope you have not missed that out. In all the symbols of Christmas, the worship, the gifts, the adoration, when we say and when we sing, oh come, let us adore Him. And all this can only point to one thing, that this child is divine. I mean, you read of the life of Jesus as an adult and His ministry. Every bit of it was marked by this truth. Emmanuel, God with us. Here in the cathedral, we run it twice in a year. This wonderful Alpha course. The Alpha course is a course that allows those who are inquiring about the Christian faith. This morning, you're hearing me. You can't ask questions. You can't disagree with me, right? But the Alpha course, you can. We bring the small groups. We have very active, very lively discussion. And one of the topics is, who is Jesus? And in that course, you get to hear a lot more as you explore Scripture about the humanity of Jesus. He's fully human, but He's also fully God. He's fully divine. And time, of course, does not allow me this morning to say a bit more about this. But I encourage you to give some time next year. If you have not given time to explore the meaning of life, always tell people just 15 to 20 hours of your life to explore some deep, important questions, to ask yourself the claims of Jesus of being God. Is that true? Or is that something that is false? God is here. That Jesus was here as human, His human life is God. That God came and God spoke and God reached out to us. Reduce Jesus to anything less than that. To say that He was just a good man, perhaps a very good man, but reduce Him to anything less than God, that you find that Christmas is stripped of its central meaning. For a good man, no matter how good, is not able to save us from our sins. Indeed, there's no joy in the world if Christ is anything less than God Himself. For only God Himself can save us. This same God who came in the form of a child will grow up and 33 years later die on the cross. Take this truth, and all we are left with is a sentimental and romantic Christmas, devoid of any spiritual life, truth, and power. God with us. And this is a message for 2,000 over years that the church has always believed in, of which, if you remove it, the whole of Christianity just simply does not make sense. So God, so keep that in your heart and mind, God. Secondly, the word weaved. God weave us. God came near. He was born into a stable. He ate our food. He walked our streets. He spoke our human languages. God weave us. God entering into our humanity. Now, I'm not sure how do you see the world? How do you see the physical world? How do you view your own body? And I'm sure our responses here, even this morning, will be very mixed. Some of you will be very positive about the world. Some will be very cynical about the world. It so depends largely on where you live in. And here in Singapore, we can by and large be very happy. But think of some of the cities in Syria. Think of some of the cities around the world. The Christmas message come across in a very different way. It probes something that's deeper within us. That in the mess of this world, that God could affirm humanity. That God can affirm our cultures. It may be Chinese, English, or Middle Eastern, ancient and modern, that God could affirm our cultures, that God could affirm our world. In fact, if I may use some Latin words, it's not even about proximus, but intimus. He did not just came near like a good neighbor. He came in to our world, into us. A human, born in the womb, he cried, he laughed, he wept. Just like any of us. In Hebrews, it says this, he took a share of the same in regards to humanity. He too shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. So beyond just having an appearance of man, he participated in the weaknesses and sensibilities of being a human, our joy, our fears, our lust, our anger. He lived and experienced the human life. And I hope that as you get acquainted with the life of Jesus, you go beyond the Christmas story. Because there's so much in his 33 years of life and ministry we can learn from. He showed us that as a human, it's possible to live our life in such a way that we can be set free, first of all, from bodily passions that often enslaves us, that keeps us from any stable vocation in the world. This beckoning to do this and to do that, that all our desire to make sense of our lives, it thwarts, it interrupts the bodily passion, sometimes seems so unruly. But you follow the life of Jesus, his reaction in the desert when he was tempted, you can see he had a different approach to the human body. We also see Jesus setting us free from social entrapment. And so you may think, I'm a human being. I'm a Wong, by the way. That's my surname. And so you may say, I'm a Tan or I'm a Raja, right? I am born into this family. I have no choice. This is a difficult family to be in. I didn't choose my siblings. Or so you may feel that you're born into poverty, perhaps at a very young age, sold to some kind of human trafficking. You feel that there's social entrapment as represented because you're enslaved in this body, in this identity. But Jesus also showed us. So the prostitute who was being judged by all, he forgave her sins. Christ himself was a victim, a social victim. And on the cross, when people were nailing him to the cross, abusing him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Jesus was not bitter, was not trapped in the social place he found himself in, he overcame. And of course, mortality. All of us know keenly, at the day we are born, we struggle with death. But Jesus has showed us that death cannot hold him down. And he showed us there's a new way of living, a new order of life. And of course, Jesus himself showed us the full potential of a human life. He once said, I've come to give you life and life to the full. That a human being can live his life to the full, can love and make a difference, can forgive and make a difference. Life to the full. Now, this point, there's a illustration I would love to use, and it's a very new one, because just two weeks ago, two gentlemen came and met me up as a vicar of the cathedral. And they told me that for 40 years, we've been following the issue of the cathedral bells up there. And we've been trying to persuade the cathedral to do something about those bells. Those bells have been there for 138 years. And they are high quality bells, made from the same foundry which made the bells at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And they're the only ones of the kind in Southeast Asia. But they were never installed properly, nor were they used maximized. The heaviest is set so that there is a set of 12 bells, but only 8 were installed. I'm sure, there's a picture there, the previous picture. So I actually went up to check after listening to them. And the next day, I actually walked all the way up panting. Not as fit as was before. It's high up, very high, very narrow, very steep staircase. And I saw the 8 bells for myself. And I looked very closely. I realized they each have a name. Soon realized their name after the apostles. And guess what's the name of the largest bell? Shouldn't be too difficult. Andrew, but of course. Andrew. Meant to be 12 apostles. But for 138 years, only 8 apostles made it to the tower. And these bells were meant to be hung in such a way that they can be swung, you see? So that you have a fuller sound, a fuller chime. They're not meant to be struck with a clapper. You can do that. But these expensive bells were finally, ultimately designed to be swung. So they're supposed to sound like the bells in St. Paul's Cathedral, these beautiful bells you hear, and you will hear this morning if you're in London, adding beautifully to the sound landscape of the city. Churches are contributing to that. Instead, for 138 years, we've been content to hear the sounds of bells that's muted, that's not in its full chime. You know, it's like buying a Steinway grand piano and only letting the lighter keys be used. Somehow in preserving the piano, you need to allow the lightest keys to be used. So from day one, brothers, sisters, and friends, these bells have stayed stationary. They've never danced. They've never swung as they were made to be. Their full potential has never been heard. They're meant to swing, you know, like the song, Ding Dong, Merrily on High. In the church, the bells are swinging. But instead, all these years, 138 years, they just stand stationary. Once in a while, dong, dong. And it's an amazing story. Its full potential has never been heard. All these 138 years. But that can also be a story of our lives. Full potential has never been heard. Some donging away, but not chiming fully as it should. Somehow, circumstances in life, selfishness perhaps, the sins, the unruly passions, human passions, leads us away from this beautiful chime that can just sound. I'm sharing this morning not because I'm asking for some donation to get this repaired, but I thought it is a fitting illustration. And we need to come back to this Christmas truth, God with us, and learn again from Jesus how to live the human life. And thirdly, of course, God with us. Us. That was how Mary felt. A 14-year-old girl, a child, and a female. And she asked, why me? So we have the great song, Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1. And then she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. It's how a child will respond when he or she is being favored. What have I done to deserve this? Some of us adults have lived a good number of years. Your response may be, after all I've done, why do you still show me favor? Why us? And of course, if you read the Gospels carefully, it's not because of what you have done, good or bad, that makes you that makes one deserving of his love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. For while we were still sinners. Amazing. While we were still sinners, not showing any potential for good, not attractive. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For you are created, friends, me and you, in his image. My eldest daughter, who is studying in London, recently did a paper comparing the human brain and the brain of a monkey. There's very little difference. But the rest of the paper goes to show that, but in actual life, there's huge difference. And there's one point she made. You know, a monkey can point to something. He only points to something when he says, I want this. I want to eat this. But only a human being can point at something and say, look, that is a beautiful thing. Just using it as an illustration, a huge gulf between a being that's made in God's image and one that's not been made in God's image. You are like God. You have infinite value. It's not about how intelligent you are, your ability to contribute to society or your wealth. God loves you because you are you. The Bible says that the greatest of these, of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Why? Because of the object of love is great. We see the life of Jesus, the people he ministered to, lepers, prostitutes, the rich elects of his days, everyone, because each person is created in his image. And friends, this view colored has been coloring the way the church has looked at the world. The way the church has looked at life. Our work of philanthropy. Philanthropy means the love of man. Even this thing in Singapore alone, all around the world, you can see it. It's motivated because we believe that every person is equally deserving of love, created in the image of God. I read an article recently in the papers of euthanasia. And I get very agitated because my own mother suffered for 8 months, slowly fading away from brain cancer. But as I look back, it was a second, it feels like a second in eternity. It was very brief, but when you're in it, it's long. But my mother never asked for assisted death. She will enter into eternity knowing that every second of her life, the good and the bad, the blissful and also the painful seconds, were all ordained by God. The Christian has a different view, you see, because God is in the picture. Emmanuel, God with us. Take that out, and little in Christianity, and little actually in Christmas, will make sense. But understand that, and the Christian faith comes together coherently and beautifully. Friends, how will you respond to Emmanuel, God with us? Perhaps you have not been as loving as you should. Certainly, I've not been as loving as I should, as I reflected on my life these last few months. Towards a family member, a friend, or a colleague, perhaps you need to put love right at the center of everything once again. Perhaps we have been living a selfish life. Maybe we've been inspired by Jesus Christ, who lived his life for others. Perhaps you have not recognized his presence, God with us. Will you be attentive to his presence in our world? Perhaps some of you have been depressed, somewhat wanting to shorten or to end your life. God didn't die for nothing. You're of infinite worth to him, just as you are. In your brokenness, in your depression, don't end your life. Instead, submit it once again to the love of God. God with us. There are some others who like to pray this prayer. You won't consider yourself a Christian, at least not fully. Maybe you've been coming to church here and there, but somehow the word God with us don't seem to make a lot of sense. It's not the experienced reality in your life. I want to invite you to pray with me this prayer. We'll ask all our eyes to be closed so that make it easier for those who may want to pray. And even those of you who being regularly coming to church, join me in praying. A simple prayer of dedicating ourselves once again to the one who is with us. Please follow after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I encourage you to take a few moments to reflect on the year that has passed. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. You have died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you for offering me the gift of forgiveness and salvation. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Help me live my life with a new purpose. Help me to love. Help me to be grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I invite you to stand. I'm sure this won't be the first time you're singing this chorus. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Please stand. You're right. You may have sung this again and again, but can I ask you to do that with a sense of adoration and worship, thanking God for what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. In Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore. Late morning service. After the service is over, we give opportunity for some of you who want to talk to someone who may be asking for prayer. I'd like to meet up with some of the pastors. Be up here after service over. Just feel free to come forward to be prayed for. We'd love to give you a special prayer of blessing. Amen. Over to the next part of the service.
We thank the vicar for bringing us God's word this afternoon. We will now continue.